social media, the internet, all these devices have taken over your life more than God. Not you in particular. Remember, it's not to you, it's for you. In your generation, it's more common to see a teenager on their device than it is to see a teenager quote scripture. I'm just being 100. Even adults do it. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this question, Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Listen, we can have beautiful homes, what I'm trying to tell you, but you can still have a home that has no peace. You need God. You can have money in the bank, and you can still feel empty inside because you need God. You can build a career and lose your marriage because you need God. I'm not saying that there's one generation better than the other. What I'm explaining is, don't fall for the trap we fell for. You understand? God is the key ingredient to the formula of success. I want us to understand this applies to all of us. You can build a career and, yes, lose your marriage. You can gain applause from people, but still be far away from God. Jesus asked a question that nobody was willing to ask, and it was this: what shall it profit a man? In other words, what good is temporary success if your soul is starving? What good is it if you're starving for God? If you're starving for that peace, you're starving for that comfort, you're starving for that strength, that courage. What good is temporary success if you don't have that? Amen? You know who's the only one that provides that? God. At Victory Baptist Church, we're not trying to raise people just to merely survive financially. What we're trying to do is build Christians who live for eternity with an eternal purpose. I know God gives salvation, but my friends, while you're here on earth, what are you investing your life in? And it's not just to the young people, but what is it that you're investing your life in? Are you investing your life in things that truly matter or things that are temporary? You say, Pastor, so you're telling me don't work and be lazy? No, God doesn't use lazy people. Amen? What I'm telling you is live your life with purpose. Amen? As you go to work, live on purpose. As you do marriage, live on purpose. I'm telling you, you're missing the purpose in life sometimes if you don't have God. If you're not doing the will of God for your life, why you were created to glorify Him, you're going to be empty. There's a trick. I don't know how it happens, but we're born with a dead spirit in our sinful nature. And then when we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have the earnest of the Holy Spirit in us, right? And He's the one that keeps us until the day of redemption. But we're not fulfilled. What do you mean? That just makes us a citizen to heaven. We're still not in heaven while we're here on earth. You still need a purpose to live for. And I don't know how this trick works, but I felt that before. I felt it where I was empty. I was making money. I had cash. I bought my car with cash, $8,000. I don't know who does that, but I did. From the hood, whatever. You can do it. If you put your mind to it, you can achieve a lot of things. And I know it might not be great things for some people, but to me, I thought, I lacked materialistic things. I grew up in poverty, so what would make me happy? Obviously the opposite. Guess what? I was obviously wrong. And I think we fall into that trap. Nowadays, it's not really material things. Nowadays, it's like social media and all this stuff that this information generation gets. We think, oh, if I have knowledge, I'll be happy. No. If you have God, you'll be happy. My question is, do you know Jesus? You might know him as your Savior, but do you know him as your Lord? You see, what shall it profit a man? Can you go to work and know Jesus? Yes, every morning wake up, talk to him, speak to him. Say, God, I'm going to have a rough day at work today. I know this for sure. Amen? I'm going to have a long, busy day at work. I'm going to have a lot of people that don't like me, a lot of people that do like me. God, help me balance this. Help me navigate through a room full of vultures that are out there trying to. You need God. God, help me in the workplace when I go and my boss doesn't believe in you, but I do believe in you, and I know how important it is not to be around an environment where they just curse and complain and they're just toxic. I understand that. God, you're important. Please help me be a light. You can go to work on purpose and serve a purpose that God made you for. Guess what that's going to bring? Fulfillment. I don't know how it works. It's like God, when he saved you, he did this. He goes, oh, there's your heart, Ezekiel. Boop. There's a hole there. Oh, I know what to fill that emptiness with, God. I'm going to get more material things. I'm going to get more money. I'm going to give into my hobbies. I'm going to do the things that I like doing, sports. I'm going to give into. And then you gain it, and you're successful at it, and you're like, why do I feel empty? That's the trick. The reason you're not fulfilled is because you don't have God. Amen? God, I know if I get a wife, I'll be happy. I am happy. Amen. But it's because he makes me happy. There's a difference. I love my wife. Amen? But if we were to do marriage without God in our life, I promise you this, because of our differences and our backgrounds, we probably wouldn't be together. That's the truth. Many people don't tell you that. That's the truth. We disagree on a lot of things. But one thing we don't disagree on, God. And it just so happens that common denominator that makes fulfillment in my life as I'm complete. And thank you, God, that she's a gift from you. It teaches me that my differences really don't matter. Her differences really don't matter. What does matter is keeping who first? God. What shall it profit a man? We're seeking for happiness and fulfillment and purpose in the wrong places. And young people, don't make that mistake. Okay? Adults, let's not make that mistake again. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. The world can give you things, but only God can give you purpose. The world can give you things, believe me, but only God can give you purpose. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Man, the world, I've seen it, man. I've experienced it. The world promises fulfillment. It promises fulfillment in success, in pleasures, in entertainment, in possessions, in relationships, but none of those things can satisfy your soul. Why? And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are high performers. You know what I'm talking about. Why is it that these things cannot satisfy you? Because who do you think the soul was created for? God. That's the trick. It wasn't created for anything else. God. Emptiness inside of people is not fixed by a purchase we make. Emptiness inside of people is not fixed by another relationship that comes into our play and into our life. I'm going to tell you, it's exciting, right? When these things take place, it's exciting, but it's temporary. You notice that? Man, I'll tell you what, Miss Carla, when we bought that property there where we live, man, I'm like, oh, beautiful. You know, you're just looking at a bunch of trees. The grass was this high. And we would drive through that property that God has blessed us with. And I remember I was so happy, and I was looking at those trees, and I was looking at that grass. I'm like, I saw the vision, right? And I'm like, oh, this is going to be our home. And this is where God's going to give us a home for our family, but not just our family, but the family we don't see, right? The generations to come. That's what I was hoping for. That's why we bought that land. I'll tell you what, stinking house. I didn't know it took a lot of money to maintain a house. Amen? Guess what happened to the excitement? It's not there when I'm over there trying to pay a $10,000 for a piece of what do you call it? Not a tool. A piece of equipment for my house or for the pool. I'm like, stinking pool. Amen? Amen? What happened to the excitement there, Pastor? It's gone. Amen? No excitement there. That grass? Well, nobody told me I was going to have back surgery and then neck surgery. Amen? When I'm on that, lawnmower? And I'm hitting all those potholes, amen. We don't have potholes there, but there's holes, amen, ruts. And unleveled grass, and I'm cutting it and weed eating. And my son, I love him to death, but he's at work. I'm like, man, I wish that kid didn't work. Amen, so that way he could be here cutting the grass with me. I promise you, I'm not excited about the house. I'm not excited about the property. Why, Pastor? Why are you so... I'm not down. I'm trying to explain to you, if I were to look for happiness in things... It's temporary. You know what I have to remind myself? Thank you, God. You're so great. God, thank you that you allowed us to be able to buy this property for our family. And that's what I find my happiness in. The purpose. So should you. But don't replace it with God. Amen? Don't replace it with God. God, thank you for the career you gave me, man. It's a headache sometimes. Amen. I want to kill people. I don't know about you, but I want to kill people. Oh, okay, not kill. Maybe hurt. Amen. But at the end of the day, thank you, God. I'm able to provide. I'm able to pay the bills. Amen. Thank you, God. I want us to understand, young people, that the human heart was designed to know God. There's going to be some tough times. A new job is exciting. A new purchase is exciting, but that's going to fade away quickly unless you say, God, thank you for this new job. Now help me be who you want me to be, the type of employee you want me to be, so I can represent you. God, I don't just be the best worker. I want to be the best worker for you, my God. This is my sacrifice to you. You gave me this gift of a new job. My job now, my gift to you is I'm going to work hard. Purpose. God, you allowed me to purchase this new home or this new car, God, and it's not so I can be recognized or so people could see the fact that I don't have a hair and it's convertible. Amen? No, I'm kidding. But I want to be able to be the right type of steward with this gift you've given me. And the best way I'm going to do, or what I'm going to do with it, is I'm going to take care of it because you gave it to me. I'm going to maintain it because you gave it to me. I'm going to keep it clean because you gave it to me. That's my purpose for it. Amen? I'm not saying get caught up in the things, but understand the purpose. He's the priority. Amen? Man, if God gave me a home, then maybe we should have Christmas at Pastor's house. Amen? And share it with God's people. You follow me? This home is to be a blessing and to glorify God. Church people, I hope you understand this is how it applies to church too. You know, God's given us this church. I know there's bigger and more beautiful churches, I guess, in this area. To me, this is everything. But this is what God has given us. That's why it's everything to me. It's the world to me because He's given it to us, our church family. We have Sunday school classroom. Yeah, we need to take care of it. We need to keep it clean. Amen? We need to cut the grass. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to work on that. Amen? But here's the thing. We have to take care of the things that God has given us. The things don't fulfill us. The purpose that God has given us, that's what fulfills us. The world can give you things, but only God can give you purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. For the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know what you and I are supposed to do in life? Obey God. And respect Him. Like, have this reverence of God, who He is. He's holy. We don't play with God's name. Amen? We don't play with God's things that He's given us. This comes from God. So show some respect to God, right? Amen? As parents, and if you're not a parent, what you're going to realize is when you have a child, or God gives you a child, you're going to treat that child like it's the child of God, not like it's your own child. Because if you treat it as if it's yours, you're going to mistreat it. If you treat it as if it's yours, you're going to sometimes treat it as you were treated when you were growing up. It's just biomechanics, okay? It's just how it works. But if you treat it supernaturally, like it's a child of God, you're going to treat it with love and nourishment and admonition. Doesn't mean you're not going to tell them what they're doing is wrong. You're going to correct it, but you're not going to do it out of anger. You're not going to do it out of passion, out of the heart. Amen? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is King Solomon. He had wealth. He had power. He had wisdom. He had fame. He had influence. Yet he declared that his life without God is vanity. Vanity of vanity, right? Empty. I want you to understand that there are nowadays celebrities today that have millions of followers, millions of dollars, amen? Millions of debt. Mansions, they have fame, they have private jets. You know, yet they battle with depression, discouragement. Celebrities. Addiction. Hopelessness. Emptiness. You say, why, Pastor? Because success cannot replace, ever, ever, ever replace God. That's why. God. Second point I'd like to share with you, if you're still with me, say amen. First point, the world can give you things, but only God can give you purpose. Second point, when God is not first, everything else eventually falls apart. Matthew 6:33, it's a well-known verse. But seek ye first the dollars. But seek ye first popularity. But seek ye first comfort. No. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In case you don't know what the kingdom of God is, it's those of us that are saved. We are supposed to seek not just those of us that are saved, but those of us that are doing the will of God for His life. We're supposed to be telling others about Jesus. So we should seek that first, to tell others about our faith. We should be living for God, obeying the word of God, right? It says, and His righteousness. I should be obedient, and in everything I do, the way I carry myself, the way I present myself, the way I act around my wife, the way I act around my children, the way I act around our church members, it should be to what? Doing right. I need to do it the right way. Righteousness, not anything evil. Follow me? Not bad, not in the wrong. I should not be leading the church out of flesh. That's bad. I should not lead the church out of my heart. That's bad. Why? The heart is what? Deceitful. Amen? The way we should lead the church is the right way. What is the right way? With the word of God. By preaching His word. Not my preference. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and guess what? A job, purchases, the houses, the careers, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Don't seek those things first. Seek God. Oh, Pastor, but it's tough. Yeah. Yeah. It takes work. It takes work. See, what's going to happen when we, like for myself, okay? I appreciated the opportunities God provided for me, and appreciated the people that crossed my path to this path of career that I had in insurance. Appreciate Miss Claudia. Just lying to me and saying, oh, it's great, it's flowers, you walk around the park. No, she warned me. She's like, it's stressful, Pastor. I don't even think you want to do it. She tried to talk me out of it. I'm like, no, I'll do it. But I don't regret it. And I appreciate Miss Claudia being honest with me, amen? She recruited me, so it's your fault, Miss Claudia. but no, I remember I enjoyed it. It was exciting at first. But then guess what happened? Reality. If you want to be the best, you have to put in work. If you want to be real good at what you do, you have to learn from others that you probably don't get along with, but they're real good at what they do. And I'm not going to say I was the best. I was probably far from that, but I really enjoyed helping people. I found purpose in the fact that what I did, it wasn't really hurting people. And sometimes they didn't understand how I can help them if they kept their payments, amen, on some of the on the insurance policies. But I'm going to tell you this. Eventually, my career ended. That's what happens to careers. They end. So if I would have found my happiness in my career, right now, you'd have a discouraged, lonely, hopeless pastor. Because if I was basing my happiness on the insurance business, guess what? I'm not doing that no more. But I'm not unhappy. I'm happy. And it's not because my career ended. I'm just saying, I understand or understood even at that time, God provided that. I was there to do a purpose for God. You follow me? This is what we need to understand in our minds. And young people, I hope you understand that careers will end. Trophies will collect dusts. Social media accounts will disappear eventually one day. Amen? And here's the truth. Success or earthly success will once fade away. One day it'll fade away. And that's the truth. But you know what never ends? Eternity. What we do for God. And if God, in His Word, His eternal Word, His Word that's preserved forever, is forever settled in heaven, if He gives us the truth, what should we obey? His Word. It's eternal. That will never fade away, my friends. Amen? See, this is why we don't build our lives on feelings. We build our lives on truth, Bible principle, not passion. Pastor, why? Because the Bible teaches that the heart is deceitful. It deceives us. Okay? I skipped the point. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 127:1, it says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Joshua 24:15. A portion of it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, it's not worth to sacrifice your marriage. It's not worth to sacrifice your children, your walk with God, your testimony, to chase temporary success. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You say, Pastor, but don't you wish you'd go back to the insurance and make the money? No. You know what I wish? To be where I need to be. I'm married to the love of my life, my best friend. And she'll tell you, I'm not perfect. And there are times we disagree. But I'm thankful I'm married to her. Young people, who you marry, please listen to me. You can wait. 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 Okay? Because the ideal person will come that God wants you. It's very important. After salvation, the next big important thing is who you marry. Who you marry. Because they're going to bring a baggage. They're going to bring debt. Let me repeat that again. They're going to bring debt. Pastor, you're telling me I don't marry them because of debt? No, just make sure you're marrying them. And it's God's will. If they're bringing debt, just make sure it's God's will. Amen? That's all I'm saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your salvation, who you marry, and then how do you serve God with your life? Three most important decisions you can make. Third point was your eternal destination matters more than your earthly reputation. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, I'm going to tell you that the greatest question is not how successful we're going to be. The greatest question is, do you know Jesus? Well, Pastor, I already accepted him. Yeah, maybe as your Savior. Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Do you know him? It's an experience. How many of you, I know some of you like talking, okay? So don't lie to me on this one. Okay? But how many of you enjoy talking to someone that there can be a conversation back and forth? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. How many of you like talking to someone that all they do is talk and like you can't say anything? You're like, yeah. How many of you like talking like that? No? Some of you need to stop doing that then, amen, if you don't like it, amen? I'm joking. But listen, no, truly, you know what are the conversations we enjoy? The back and forth, right? When you get to know that person, what you're doing is you're experiencing that person's experiences, their emotions, their history, and you're carrying on a conversation, you're building a rapport. It's called a relationship. And then, guess what you're doing? You're getting to know that person, the way they think, their discernment, right? You're getting to know how this person is. Guess what? With Jesus, it's the same way. Do you know him? This is why many can't forgive, because you don't know him. Many hold on to grudges because you still haven't figured out. Jesus forgave us. Guess what he would want us to do? By the way, he says it in his word. Forgive others. Now, Pastor, but they did me wrong and dirty. I might not understand how they did you wrong and dirty, but I understand how they did me wrong and dirty. And guess what? I can sleep good at night because I've learned to forgive. That forgiveness is not for that person, the offender, that offended you. That forgiveness is your road to recovery on how to heal and not give that person your power. You're the offended or offendee, right? So guess what? Our job and what God knows about us, we hold on to grudges and it becomes resentfulness and then bitterness. But if we don't learn how to forgive, we can't grow. Yeah, life is unfair. You got to forgive. You know how you figure that out? Jesus. You think I like being talked bad about or criticized? Or you're like, Pastor, but you can't. No. I'm like anyone else. I don't like that. I like being loved. I love being treated right. I do. My human nature. But when it doesn't happen, I'm not going to hold grudges or bitterness. Why? I have to be right with God. That's why. As a pastor, I have to put everything to the side, act like I'm a mature person, even though I'm not many times. Amen. And I have to get to know my Savior and my Lord and understand, Zeke, is this how you're going to act? Is this really how you're going to act? You know me. You know what I've done for you. You know where I brought you. Is this really how you're going to act? Or it's more like, is this how you're going to treat me? You're just going to listen to me and not take my advice? No, Jesus. Okay, then. Do what you should do. What's right? What's that? Forgive them. But Jesus, right? He says that to me. Amen. No, here's the thing. I want us to understand that your eternal destination matters more than your earthly reputation. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The world tells young people, follow your heart. Do what feels right. Live your truth. But the Bible teaches your heart can deceive you. Again, this is why we build our lives on truth, not on feelings. So if you come to church and you still haven't forgiven me for a sermon that I preached maybe 9 years ago, please forgive me. Amen. Maybe I was in the flesh. I don't know. But understand this. I have learned not to be offended for this reason. I got to know Jesus. And Jody, you know what I learned? I was fake. Yeah, I know. I'm keeping it 100. I was fake. This is what I mean. I learned that I got offended when people told me the truth. And I'm like, why am I getting offended? Because you're being fraudulent, bro. You're being fake. Here's the thing. People that are being fake don't like the truth. They take it as an attack. Don't blame the person that's telling you the truth. That's your problem. Fix it. When you get to know Jesus, that's what he teaches you. The things in your life that are wrong that need to be corrected. Zeke, you thought this was the truth, but it's not. It's a lie. You're deceiving yourself. Stop being fake. No. But my pastor taught. No. What am I teaching you? No, but my mom taught. No, what am I teaching you? Have y'all ever had that happen? I'm going to tell you, the reason why you and I get offended is because we're lying to ourselves. We wouldn't have gotten offended if it didn't step on our toes. Think about it. The truth hurts. But it's that truth that sets you free. It makes you free. The truth. What I learned with walking with Jesus, I'm not perfect. I considered myself, this is a fake, a good person. I memorized verses. I would be in competitions at our church. Memorized, I think it was about 170 or 175. There, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 170 or 175 in Spanish. I'm a good person. I mean, I'm doing that at 9 years old, memorizing scripture. I'm like, come on, I'm not that bad. Zeke, you're fake. We got to be 100, man. When we come to Jesus, we got to realize, God, this is who I am. I'm a sinner. I don't have it all together. I'm not good. But I know who you are. And you've forgiven me. The least I can do in return is forgive others that were like once me, fake. Amen? And I promise you, you'll sleep well at night. And God will bless your life. But we have to seek him first and his righteousness, okay? Make God a priority in your marriage. Make God a priority in your life, in your career, in your home, and the decisions you make. Make him first. And you're going to realize, wow, God, we have a great God because he still loved me even though I was fake. And now that I'm getting better, I'm not perfect. But he's shown me so much and given me so much insight that it's blessed me personally, and I love him for it. I could never repay him. The only way I can repay him is just give him my life. And I'm not trying to waste myself and die soon, but I'm going to waste myself for him. And the way I can do that is by wasting myself for you. Pastor, we don't deserve it. It's not about deserving. It's about doing what's right. Get to know Jesus. Amen. Bow your head. Close your eyes. This morning, maybe God spoke to your heart. The goal here was to